After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Come, let us return and visit the believers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul decided not to take with them one who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in the work. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and set out, the believers commending him to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good job. Great job.
Well, welcome to those joining us by internet. Today, we offer for the first time mobile device adaption to our website. So on your phone, on your iPad, wherever you are now, you can watch the service. Some people said they were going to be at baseball fields today. And so I'm going to quiz you and see if you followed along in the service after all today. But what a great gift that is for many people so that folks can participate far and wide. As we get ready for the message now, let's join together in a word of prayer. Lord, like dry ground that is refreshed after a rain, may your word be refreshing to our souls and spirits, reviving us with hope and with life, renewing us with your power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The day I discovered Windows XP was a happy day. See, up until that time, when I would work on sermons in Microsoft Word, I would sometimes get in a hurry, just start typing, forget to save, and something might happen to the computer. It would shut down, and when that happens, what would happen to my document? It'd just be lost. It'd be gone. Where do documents go when you lose them, by the way? I mean, where do they go? They just go to that great resting place of lost documents. So I'd lose them. Then one day, in the church I was serving, they gave me a new computer, and on it had Windows XP. I was working on a message, and as I sometimes do, I didn't save it, and I did not pay attention to that little device in the corner reminding me of how much battery life I had left. So eventually the whole computer just shuts down and goes dark. And I go into my wailing and gnashing of teeth about another lost document. And when I finally get enough composure and consoled grief to turn the computer back on again and bring up Word, over on the left side of the picture was my recovered document. You don't look nearly as excited about that as I do. I had Windows XP. It recovers lost documents. It was there. Oh, happy day. Sometimes life can be like a lost document. Anybody here ever made a mistake before? Only three hands went up. I mean, I knew this was a crowd of good people, but I had no idea. If you've ever made a mistake before, no matter the size of the mistake, you have some idea of what it's like to lose things. Sometimes we just get in a hurry, don't we? We get in a hurry. Sometimes we don't exercise good judgment. Sometimes we don't heed the warning sign. Sometimes we look for shortcuts to get us where we want to be. We don't pay attention to the risks that are involved. And all of a sudden, something happens. And we know that something we have invested a lot in is suddenly lost. Sometimes it literally is an investment, a financial investment. Sometimes it's a career. Sometimes it's a relationship. Because of something that can happen so quickly, some mistake, some act of thoughtlessness, and something we had been working hard on is just lost. It's interesting that Windows called this program XP. Do you realize that XP is also a very ancient Christian symbol? One of the earliest Christian symbols was XP. Maybe you've seen signs like this before, except these are not the English alphabet letters XP. These are the Greek letters. X is chi, C-H. P is actually rho, R, chi, R, C-H-R, first letters in the word Christ, X-P. Early on in the spiritual life, this became an important symbol to Christians because they understood we have a spiritual X-P power. Because early Christians came to understand that Christ specializes in lost things, in lost hope, in lost lives. Let's look at a case study this morning. The case study of a young man named John Mark. In the book of Acts, which we're studying this summer, John Mark is not nearly as popular as Peter or Paul. You may never have heard of John Mark before, but he is in the book of Acts, and he's another great example of LBF, living by faith. But to get an appreciation of his life, we need to look at a number of snapshots this morning, sort of like going through a scrapbook to piece together somebody's life. So we're going to look at a number of verses that give us glimpses about John Mark and help us to see how he is a demonstration in the power of Christ, XP. The first time we're introduced to John Mark is in Acts chapter 12, verse 12. This is actually a verse connected to a story we looked at a couple of weeks ago when Peter was in prison. You remember that? We talked about how he was chained to the wall and yet he slept. Well, when he was miraculously set free, this is what it says. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So what do we know about John Mark right away? He grew up in a spiritual home. His house was probably the very first church. This is where Peter went right away. That's where the people would be praying. That was John Mark's home. Now, the next time we read about him is a few verses later, verse 25. When Barnabas and Paul had finished their mission, they returned to Jerusalem, taking John Mark with them. So John Mark grew up in an influence of faith, but even more than that, he was so inspired by that faith, he wanted to be a part of sharing that good news with others. He wanted to be a part of this missionary work. So he goes with Paul and Barnabas. And then we read again. When they came to Salamis, they preached the good news of God in the synagogues. John Mark was with them to help. So he is now helping give good news and hope to other people, good news about Christ. But then, just 8 verses later, this is what we read. From Paphos, Paul and company put out to sea, sailing on to Perga in Pamphylia. That's where John Mark called it quits and went back to Jerusalem. Now I want to pause there and just ask if up to this point in the snapshots, if there's any part of John Mark's story you can relate to, that you might even say, you know what, that looks a little bit like my life. Maybe you grew up in a faith-filled home. You grew up around people who nurtured faith in you. Maybe you can recall experiences in your life. Going to church, perhaps, as a young child, where you were so inspired, it was like the presence of God was real enough to grab a hold of it. It just filled your life. Maybe you can even relate to saying, you know, I want to be like those people. I want to do in the church what they're doing. I want to be able to touch other people's lives the way they touch me. That's really how I felt called to ministry. When I was a teenager, we had Duke Seminary students work in our church during the summers. These people had such an influence on my life. The best way I can articulate an early call to ministry was just simply saying, I want to do what they do. I want to be able to have impact on other people's lives the way I feel God impacts me through them. Maybe you can relate to that, those kinds of positive, wonderful memories. But then somewhere along the way, something happened. Maybe something sudden, something tragic. Maybe just life itself, getting into a daily grind. Maybe months or perhaps even years of some kind of unfulfillment that made those powerful experiences of faith just lessen and weaken, where one day it maybe even had you questioning if any of that back there was ever real to begin with, because it doesn't seem to stand up with the challenges of life. Maybe that's what happened to John Mark. He was fired up in his faith. He wanted to go and be a missionary and share good news with others. But he no more than got started, and something happened. Maybe his faith just weakened. But just 8 verses later, he called it quits. The tallest mountain in the continental United States is Mount Whitney in California, 14,494 feet. Within 100 miles of Mount Whitney is Badwater Basin, the lowest point in the United States, almost 250 feet below seawater. Think about that. Within 100 miles, within sight of one another, the highest and the lowest points. Does that ever look like your spiritual life? Where some days you can walk out of church, no one can talk you out of your faith in God, but all it takes is one argument with your spouse later, or a phone call, or an experience at work, or even one email, and it can just suddenly bring you into a nosedive and question if any of those faith experiences behind you were real. Whatever it was, whatever caused John Mark to quit, it was a big deal. Now, how do we know that? Because of the passage that we heard read just a moment ago. You'll see it on the screen. I want to read a part of it to you from the middle of that reading earlier. Barnabas wanted to take John along, the John nicknamed Mark, but Paul, in fact, now that we have it on the screen, let's read the underlined portion together. Let's say it together. But Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't able to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, had jumped ship on them. Tempers flared and they ended up going their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Think about this for just a moment. Barnabas and Paul had such a big fight that they parted company that day, and as far as we know, they were never together again. Barnabas, the man who was responsible for Paul becoming an apostle, he defended Paul to the other disciples. He gave Paul his first job as a missionary. If you ever get discouraged in the church because people don't always act nice, sometimes folks can get sideways with each other and argue and start to think, oh, you know, that kind of behavior shouldn't happen in church. Just know, you go all the way back into the book of Acts and it happens with the great apostle Paul. They have such a big fat fight that they were never together again. And over what? John Mark. Paul said, I don't want him around again. And if it means we lose our friendship over it, so be it. His failure was that big a deal. He is a quitter. Look at it. We're not taking along a quitter. Think of the power of those words if you're John Mark. You're this kid listening to these people you look up to. And he didn't say he made a mistake. He didn't say he quit. He said you are a quitter. Wow. What's the power of that? It's not just saying that you've made a mistake. It says your mistake has now defined you. You are a quitter. Have you ever been tempted to let a mistake, to let an error define your life? How many baseball fans here? Any baseball fans? Of you baseball fans, how many of you recognize the name Bill Buckner? Most of you. Wow. Okay, when you hear the name Bill Buckner, what's the first thing you think of? Error? Mistake? Somebody said first baseman, but it was at first base where he made a classic error. If you will Google the name Bill Buckner, of the links that come up, most of them will relate to an error in the 1986 World Series when Boston was about to win. They were about to break the curse of the Bambino, and a routine grounder came to first base. This would end the game. He bent down, and the worst thing that can happen to an infielder, he didn't just miss it, it went between his legs. They ended up losing the World Series. And for the rest of his life now, he's going to be remembered because of that mistake. But it was even worse than that. The Boston fans so turned on him that he and his family had to leave the city. They could not go out in public anymore because of the treatment that they received. 22 years later, opening day 2008, after Boston won their second World Series in 2007, they asked Bill Buckner to return to Fenway Park in a Boston jersey and throw out the opening pitch. This is a YouTube video. It's a little bit shaky. Take a look at this. Boston's way of apologizing and telling him we're sorry for what we did to you. Could you imagine for the rest of your life someone Googles your name and the one thing that they're going to remember about you is your mistake, your error? Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you can. Maybe you have voices you have not been able to get out of your head that say you're a quitter, you're a manipulator, you're a cheater, you're a liar, you're a failure. Maybe you can understand that. Former U.S. Senator Samuel Hayakawa once said, think about the difference between a person saying, I have failed three times, and a person saying, I am a failure. It makes all the difference. So what happened with John Mark? What happened to this young man who was sort of responsible for a fracture of a relationship of the two most significant leaders in the church at the time? What became of his life? The last reference in the New Testament to John Mark comes at the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy. Timothy was a protege of Paul's. He's at the end of his career. He's writing to Timothy, asking him to bring a number of things that he needs. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 4:11. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I have to laugh when I read that. John Mark, the quitter, the one Paul was willing to end a friendship with Barnabas over, that same John Mark, he says, make sure, 20 years later, make sure you bring the young man with you because he is helpful to me. What changed? What happened to turn that around in his life? Pull out your bulletin again. I left my bulletin back here. Notice in the middle of the reading, the sentence that begins the disagreement. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. And then underline the words, Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. That is all we know until Paul says, bring him with you because he's helpful to me. What happened? Those few words tell us nothing, and yet they tell us everything, don't they? Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. What does that tell us? It tells us John Mark kept going, and he went in a new direction, and he stayed close to a faith influence. If there's anything that can keep us from letting failure define us, it's when we just get up and keep going and we're willing to go in a new direction and we stay close to somebody who's going to put some new recordings in our head. Somebody who's going to help us erase the words, you're a quitter. Somebody who's not going to remind us of what we've done, but what we can do. Somebody who's going to fill us with what we already know but have long forgot. Don't you imagine there were days Barnabas would sit down in the late afternoon sun with John Mark and say, you remember how you went and you shared good news with people about Jesus Christ? Well, he's good news for you too, young man. Your life isn't over. You know why he's good news? He's good news not just because life is good. He's good news when life is bad. That's when he really is good news. He is hope when you feel hopeless. He's good news when you feel like you've blown it so bad there's no potential for recovery. That's when the power of Christ becomes real. Because God delights in recovery. It is God's nature to restore and to have mercy and to renew. And God loves restoring and recovering lost lives. He would have refreshed him with the power of XP. Jerry Clower is a Christian comedian from Mississippi. He loves to tell this story about the mother who had 8 children. Sitting down to dinner one night, she noticed the youngest child's seat was empty. She started asking the other children, do you know where so-and-so is? Nobody knew except one of them said, a couple hours ago, I saw him playing at the construction site down the road. Well, that mother jumped up from her chair, ran out the door and down the street in that direction. She kept yelling the name of her child, and eventually she heard the muffled cries of her son, Mama, help me. Mama, help. She followed the voice and found he had fallen into a used oil drum. He was covered from head to toe and so slick he couldn't pull himself out. She reached down in the drum, pulls him up by the arms and just holds him there suspended and looks at him and said, boy, it would be easier to make another one of you than to clean you up. And then Jerry Clower says, isn't it a good thing God doesn't say that about us? Isn't it a good thing when we make such messes of our lives, when we get ourselves so down that we cannot pull ourselves up again, that God does not come along and say, well, I'm just going to move on to another one. No, God delights. God delights in recovery, in cleaning up, in restoring with the fullness of the beauty in which we were first made. That power never runs dry. John Mark must have discovered that. And that's what gave him the ability to keep going. And one day, hear the words of the man who said, he's a quitter, say, he is so helpful to me. But you know what my favorite reference to John Mark is? Favorite reference is in the Gospel of Mark. In the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is being arrested, and the next day he's going to be crucified. In that story, we read these words. One young man following behind was clothed only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of his shirt and ran away naked. Now, in any of your Passion Play experiences, do you remember that scene from the story? Some kid running away naked into the darkness of night. It's only told in the Gospel of Mark. Do you get that? The Gospel of Mark. You see, John Mark wrote the Gospel, and he put himself in the story because he was there that night. And he ran away naked out of fear. Why on earth would somebody tell that on himself? Because John Mark said, I have run away in fear many times in my life. I have failed not just once, but over and over in my life. But in my life, I have gone on to be able to tell about the good news of Jesus Christ, who can restore lives, who can forgive, who can renew, who can give hope again. I can tell that story, and if I can tell it, then I know it's good for you too. He shows a picture of himself that, sure, he must have wanted to forget, so that any person who ever reads it and says, I can't face those people again. I can't go back to the office. I can't go back to my church. I can't show myself to my neighbors. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too ashamed. He put himself in the story who says, I know all about that. But that does not have to be the lasting verdict. And it is not ours either. Let us pray. O God of recovery and restoration, just as we can click with a pointer on a computer screen and refresh a document we thought was lost, so all we have to do is say, Lord Jesus Christ, I accept your gift for me. I invite you again into my life and accept your offer of forgiveness and the renewal and the hope that you can bring so that I can keep going and let the lasting verdict of my life be the voices of others who say, you have been so helpful in my life. Amen.